in your past experience a connector or a leader? Or did you get a chance to be either?
Past experience in weekend?
Yes.
Gosh, I didn't get a chance to be. I got in, I had been in a bad car accident. Spent my first couple of years in weekend on general with my leg in a cast. So I kind of just attended a lot of things and people picked me up and took me to. Started out fixing loan products to help me feel better. Great product interest I could do to get better. Once I got better and found out what a rotten financial position I was in, I got to have a look at this financially, and that's right about when everybody stopped doing it, sound. So I just started listening to as many things as I could listen to, and read as much as I could read, and if I could figure it out for myself, and just tried that system, and I even that would help. Good, actually, but that's probably not a good place to get into that, but it did to a great extent. That's the hard way.
If I started Tyler, Texas tomorrow, could I beat you to a large group?
Probably.
Why?
Because I believe there's a lot of people in this town that have really got to be open to this. I'm just not hitting them. I'm kind of locked in my medical community, which is very, very hard critic. Get out of the medical community somewhat, at least to the strict Western medicine that I'm in. I'm getting a little bit of good feedback from like chiropractors. But I think that's where I need to go in the medical community. I need to get out of the strict medical community. Business community. Different people.
Well, you're allowed. Here's the hard part for everybody. This is very difficult for most people. There's nothing precluding anyone from doing this. But we've been so oriented to being employees and students our whole lives that we're waiting for somebody to identify the boundaries and tell us what not to do. The deal is, it's sitting there, and anyone that can pick it up can run with it. They can run as hard as they choose to run, or they can choose to make excuses and not do it. That's just it. And in order for you to really make any forward movement, do you think you're pretty well skilled at doing what you've done in NECAN so far? Like you could do it over and over again and stay right in the same place pretty well? And so you may have to jettison most of those things that you're doing and replace for things that might be more productive, right? What percentage of the activities that you actually spend on, how many hours a week do you spend on your camp?
Oh, right now probably 10.
Out of those hours, which ones do you think are doing the types of things that would produce volume or new distributors? Of all those hours, the 10 to 12 hours you're spending on it, which of those activities could directly produce new distributors or business volume? We're down to 5 hours, right? And in those 5 hours, how many of those 5 hours are actually in front of new prospects? Okay, so about 3 or 4 hours a week, you're able to be in front of new prospects. Well, yeah, I mean, just currently in your normal week, you're in front of new prospects about 3 to 4 hours a week. And out of that, am I right in saying you're pretty well coming up with zeros? Okay, well, let's do a quick review. How are you at getting people set for a 20-minute or 40-minute appointment? Are you good at that?
Good.
And then how are you at doing the flip chart presentation? So that get a fairly large percentage of the people who saw the flip chart that commit to go to a wellness preview, right? And then how exciting are your wellness previews for the people in your organization?
Not too.
Why? Well, here's something you're going to have to do, and this is going to have to be done by anybody that's starting over. And that is to, if you were the very first distributor in Neekin in Texas, and you were to go out and begin to start building, it'd be easier than it is today. It would actually be harder, but it wouldn't seem like it to you. So why do you make it, what wouldn't your mindset would change if you were the first one in Texas? Today, if you were to go out and start, if I said, ready, set, go, right now, you're going to go out and start to build a Neekin business as your mindset is currently today. Because there are other people there, and there's diamonds, and there's royal diamonds in Texas. Would it be different in your mind if you started out and you were the very first person in Texas, period? We erase the clock, go back in time, and start at that point. Would it be easier for you to build a large organization if no one else had ever been in Texas? Or would it be easier for you to build today?
I think it would be easier if no one else. Standpoint of the fact that my friends and family hadn't already heard from me.
Okay.
Start out from scratch and have heard it and talk about it for the last. And I did it right from the beginning. I probably have a massive organization then.
Okay, now, what percentage of the people, do you know what the percentage of people in Texas know about the name Neekin? Yeah, we know that less than 2% of the population has ever even heard the name of the company. So that means 98% of the people you're around have never even heard of it. That's pretty close to zero. Zero penetration in Neekin in Texas. There's some there. But it can skew your mind. If you were out picking up, if you're out on the beach picking up clams, and 98% of all the clam shells you found were empty, that wouldn't be a very good day picking up clams. On the other hand, if only 2% of the clams that you found were empty, then, well, you could still get a lot of clams, right? Well, where we are in Neekin is that we're at that point where there's 2% maybe that have ever heard the name of the company, and that means about 0.5% have an opinion about the company. And most of those are good. So we really haven't really sort of poisoned the well or anything, but here's what most people would do if we said, ready, set, go, no one's ever seen Neekin before. What would be the first thing you would set up? Well, if I sent you to, what's the name of that place? It's the former Yugoslavia. There's a couple of really cool countries over there. And let me check this call. This might be somebody trying to get on our call. But
Kathy?
Yeah.
Let me introduce you to Daniel.
Barely hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me introduce you to Daniel. Kathy's down in Texas. Daniel's here. He's a young man that I'm sponsoring. He's on the call with us tonight. Listening in.
Hi, Daniel.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Oh, barely. I don't think the connection's very good.
Hey, Daniel?
Yeah.
Why don't you walk over by the stairs?
All right.
You're probably too far away.
If you're having trouble hearing, try star 4.
I just did. Yeah, great. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Good. I've never tried that before, but I thought I'd try.
Jerry's back? Who are you talking to?
Daniel. Oh,
is he on the phone? Is he on the call?
Yeah, I'm here.
Daniel, meet Jerry White. Daniel's a new recruit of mine.
How you doing, Jerry?
All right. Way to go, Daniel. Welcome to the call. What we're doing tonight is just we're kicking cans a little bit. We're developing the program that will be starting at the beginning of October. And the reason that we're holding off is we want this thing to be designed very well. So, Daniel, how long have you been sort of kicking the tires on me, Ken?
Steve introduced me to it about 6 or 7 months ago, and I've just been taking in a little bit of information at a time, you know, just checking out websites, and about 2 weeks ago, I decided that, you know, this really could be for me. We went to a wellness preview over at Sean's house, and something just clicked. It seemed like this, you know, would be a great business for a young kid like myself to get started in, make a lot of new friends, and, I don't know, just teach a lot of new people about the new boom in the industry, which is, you know, which is wellness, and I think Nikan can be a great way to distribute that and teach people, and I really wanted to jump on in.
Well, perfect, because what you just did was you gave one of the all-time great recruiting speeches that I've ever heard, because basically what you're doing is you're telling exactly what you saw.
Yeah.
And, hey, you know, you want to try something cool? Come take a look at this. And if you don't mess it up by adding 2 hours worth of conversation to follow, you'll probably do pretty good.
Well, I'm sure hoping so. You know, only thing I'm really worried about is being a little bit, you know, younger, that I don't have a lot of credibility, but that's what I'm hoping to use my upline for.
Well, realize, and this is going to be a really kind of an important concept to learn. It's one of the first things that you're going to learn in terms of credibility.
Yeah.
Did you ever join Napster when it was still Wild West?
I don't think I did, actually.
Yeah. You just
have you ever joined any of the music sharing programs at all?
I did BearShare and LimeWire.
Okay. And when you joined, how much credibility did you have to have?
Zero, really.
Exactly. But was the network powerful?
It was, because there were so many people on there.
Yeah, so this is a really important point to remember. The numbers of people create the power and the credibility, not the background of those people.
Okay.
Because most of those people were basement moles with mushrooms growing on them, because they never see the light of day. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
Because there are, but it made an incredibly powerful network that could literally have sold to some major publishing house for billions after it got set up. And yet, most of those people, man, you would have made fun of them in high school.
Yeah.
Together, though, they represented a couple of $1 billion worth of power in the community. So if you look at Nikan and you realize how a network actually works, It's going to work on the power and strength of the numbers of people who believe and use far more than it is on anybody's credibility.
Right.
The network carries the power and carries the credibility.
Right, okay.
Now realize then, let's say in a music sharing network, in that network itself, if you were like most people are in the working world, you would come with every CD you ever bought from the store. That doesn't make you very powerful.
Right.
And all the other people in the network can't benefit much from borrowing your stuff because you'd run out in a real quick hurry, right?
Right.
But because it's a sharing network back and forth, as you come to Niken, you leverage that power. I like to explain it kind of like the, I don't know if you're old enough or if you ever saw the reruns, but the original Mission Impossible on TV, did you ever see it?
I don't think I did, actually.
Well, here's how it worked. There was a guy who would get this stuff in the mail. It'd be a bag of pictures of the bad guys and an idea of what was going on in some country, and he'd get a tape recorder. In your generation, you may not know what that is, but it would have things that looked like video cassettes that were torn apart.
Right.
And it would play from one reel to the next reel. When it was done, it goes flap, 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 flap. And it would say, at the end of listening to this, it would say, this is your assignment should you choose to accept it. And should anything happen to anyone or you on your or anyone else on your possible mission to the force, the secretary will disavow any knowledge of your existence or action. So basically what they're saying is, if you want to take this on, you're on your own.
Right.
Oh.
All right, so you get the picture there. Now, here's how it works. This leader guy would be given this impossible mission to accomplish. And then what he would do is to go out and use his resources to pull together somebody who was really good at operating high-speed vehicles. Then he'd get somebody else that was in communication, and someone else who could punch out guards and lift people over fences. And then he might get a little guy that was a gymnast that could go into places that no one else could. And then he'd usually have some girl that dress up in a bikini and distract the bad guys right at the right moment. Can you see how those people, you're not going to get Bubba the Goon that's going to break people's heads to dress up in the bikini. It just ain't going to work.
Right.
Everybody is intended to do what they intend to do. So if you can look at the network from a standpoint that says, I don't have to be powerful. What I need to do is to be a consumer and use what I use, but then bring together groups of people with varied expertise, and that creates the power of the network to really accomplish the impossible.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think I see what you're saying.
So then you bring those people together and you say, each one of you has your own specific skills that will become apparent to you. Now I want you to sit down with my partners here, and we're going to lay out how this works. And you go through a couple of presentations, and they either get it and they want to be a part of assisting you to get that done, or they don't get it.
Okay.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, definitely. That actually works out really nicely.
And then you do what you know how to do. You just bring people together. Say, I see this for these reasons. Makes good sense to me. And I'm not sure exactly what you're going to perceive that you get from it, but I want you to take a look at it. It may be you, and it may be someone you know. All I know is that I need to accomplish this mission. If you can do that and invite people, Steve's got, in his background, the ability to do a presentation that will give them good, clear information. Then they use that information to make a fully informed opinion about whether they could see themselves fitting into that matrix and applying their expertise and being useful. And that's all we do over and over again.
Well, you make it sound so simple.
Yes, exactly. And that's the power of it, where people screw it up. In fact, people who are coming to this plate with your age, knowledge, and experience are generally more likely to be successful than people who are older with a lot of world experience. That might seem weird, but the reason is because we have to unlearn everything we learned in the old business model.
Just go with the simplicity of it.
So I'm going to have Steve. Steve, are you on?
I am.
I'm going to have Steve tell you how powerful this model is. Steve, remind him, if he found one a month, who found one a month, what would he have in a year?
If you find one a month and you duplicate that all the way through your line, you've got over 4,000 people in your group at the end of a year.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good line.
Now, let's make it into something that he can use. If you have 4,000 people, and all of those people have this thriving business, and they produce $100 in business volume in a month, you'd say that's really a kicking organization, huh?
Definitely.
Can you imagine a McDonald's that could operate if they made $100 in sales in a month?
No.
Or any other store or any other business for that matter, even a guy who mows lawns, if he made $100 in gross business volume, he couldn't even pay his lawnmower.
That's right.
So if we go as little as $100, now all 4,000 of those people do $100 every month, that's not asking a whole lot from any one individual, right?
No, not really, not at all.
And that is, they could use it, or they could be moving it or selling it. We're just going to say a minimum of 100. So, Steve, do the math.
You really want me to tax my brain, don't you?
Say that again, Steve. It was breaking up.
I said, you really want me to use my brain, don't you?
Yeah, there you go.
4,000.
You have 4,000 people doing $100. What does it turn out to be?
$400,000.
Yep, you would generate $400,000 in sales revenue in a 30-day period. So, what you probably want to know is how much would you get paid off of that, right?
Yeah, that's a little more to my interest.
Because if you had $400,000 in business revenue, they'd pay you a minimum of 6%. You'd make $24,000 a month. If all you did was to find one person every month who got one every month and everybody did $100.
I'm thinking I could live with that, yeah.
Yeah. So another way to put that would be, a year from today, if you found one person every month and everybody was doing $100 and they found one person every month, your check for the month would be $24,000, but you would have no car payment and no house payment either, because Nikken would have already begun a process to give you a bonus where they pay your car payment and they pay your house payment. Could you actually retire on $24,000 a month if you didn't have a car payment and a house payment?
Probably, yeah.
Now, here's the screwy part. That's the weakest way to build an organization.
You said that was the weakest way?
That's the weakest and the slowest way.
Okay.
Because if you found, let's follow our first couple months. What it means is that if you found one person every month, you're actually doubling yourself. And if so it means if you found Steve, that's two.
Right.
Took you 1 month. In the second month, you and Steve are going to go both find one more person. He finds one, you finds one. What's the total number of people, including you?
Four.
Yep, it's four. Now, in the third month, each of those four finds one. How many would you have to find yourself in the third month? One. Your workload stays the same.
Oh,
right. But because the other four people were doing a workload, you get credit for the people they bring in, or the other three people, so now you have eight. It's doubling every month. 248.
That's going a lot quicker.
By the fourth month, you'd have 16. Okay, got that so far?
Right, yeah.
Now watch the power of this. If instead of getting one every month, you decided to get three once in your lifetime and then fold your arms and never get another one, but teach those three to do the same. In the first month, instead of having two, you'd have three. Following me so far?
Right, yeah, okay.
Now, you're a teacher, you're a mentor, you're an assistant, and you put the team together, and you, plus the efforts of those people supporting one another, their job now becomes find three each. They'll never find another, they're just going to find three.
Right.
You with me now?
Yep.
So the second generation, you'd have those three finding three would be nine total new people. Now, if those nine found three, you'd have 27. And if those 27 found three, you'd have 81. In the first equation I told you about, you'd have 16 people in your fourth month, right?
Right.
In this one, you have 81 in your fourth month.
That seems like
and
a
yet you've
a lot
actually
quicker.
Only worked with three people in the second model, and you worked with four people in the first model.
Right.
Did you let your imagination go nuts as to what it would be after a year if we're 81 in the fourth month on this equation, and we used to be 16 on the other one?
It's definitely going to be a lot bigger.
It'd be nuts.
Yeah.
And then can you imagine over the course of a year, if you're making $24,000 a month, the first person that you brought into the business, during the month when you made $24,000, they would make $12,000. Do you think there's a chance that during that month they would probably do more business volume than $100?
Definitely.
Because everybody by that time would have been buying wellness homes, right?
That's exactly.
And that's $5,000. They're making $12,000 a month. They're going to get $5,000 over the course of a year in product purchases. It'll probably go $10,000, but so that's what we're dealing with. If people understood that simple proposition that I told you about at the beginning, where you just say to people, "You've got skills. They're going to somehow be available, and they're going to be somehow usable within this marketplace. I want you to take a look at how it fits, and then they get in and do $100. That's all it took." But that's the weakest way to do it. But if you're interested in doing that, you just need to bring people.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll finish off the call with one thing that'll make you totally crazy.
All right.
If you got one every month, and they got one every month, you'd have 4,000 in a year. Right?
Right.
You'd be excited.
Definitely.
That's 4,096 people. But here's the interesting part about this math. If you decided that you were more friendly than that, and you got one a week instead of one of every month, in 12 weeks you'd have 4,096 people. But if you really knew how to tell that simple story, and you decided you were going to get one a day, and as those people got one a day, in 12 days you'd have 4,096 people.
I'd have to be like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. Why is that?
To be that friendly and get that many people.
Very good. So now you can see that it goes as fast as you want it to go if you can keep the story simple, inspire other people, have them commit, and everybody goes to work. Which one do you think would be more exciting? One a month, one a week, or one a day?
I'm going to go with the one a day.
So if your people got involved and you could crank it up at that rate, they would get a bunch more excited too, and it'd be far more likely that everybody would make a run for it, right?
That's right.
So this is what makes people want to strip to go naked and run down the street. Take them there.
Sneaking is the way to go, dude, huh?
I fully expect now, after having transferred that vision into both of your minds, that the next Nikan Family magazine is going to be plastered with all your accomplishments for having done it.
I like it.
All right. Thanks for being on the call, guys.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jerry.
Good night.
Kathy, sorry I didn't mean to interrupt him talking to you. Have a good night,
That's
Kathy.
Okay.
Have a good night, Kathy.
Okay.
Bye,
friend. Off to work.
Take care.
You too. Bye. Thanks.
Bye now.
Good night.